Green means
go. Red means stop talking.
Green means go.
When I first started at DSC, that was wear your heart on your sleeve, my 30-day evaluation. And I'm like, things have not changed, and I don't care now. I don't even care now. I think it comes with age that it's all out the window. You get what you get. So I will just look down because I will not control my face.
I know, I've been told the same thing.
It is, and I think after that evaluation, I think I'm really situations that were alarming.
This finally came last night, and it was in the mail for a week.
I think it was just last Monday.
Here's the U.S. Postal. It was mailed on 7/14, and I got it on 7/22 after 5 p.m. There's something wrong with the mail. That's what I heard, yeah. So it's taking 5 days to get to Kansas City, but 7 days from Urbana to Champaign.
Well, Chicago. Yep. days up, 2 days back.
And I printed out the critical. I think it's a complaint to Durbin and Duck.
Yeah, I don't know that we can sooner. That's the, and usually we come on Tuesday. We just happened to get this one done. I was in the office, so I whipped them out really quickly.
They probably have it.
Kim, was yours delayed? Or
I got it yesterday.
I got mine yesterday. It was 7 days in the mail.
Okay.
Yeah, well, what,
yeah they were mailed out last Monday.
7 days.
What else should we expect?
They're obviously trying to kill the postal system.
Exactly.
They,
we know who they
are. Yeah, we
is.
Do. Know who they is.
Recording in progress. All right, let's call this thing together, shall we? Welcome to the Bennett office building. This is a new space, and you guys are so far away. But there are a lot of chairs up here, so if you want to come and sit with us, that is perfectly fine. You are welcome to do that. We're just going to have roll call, I guess, to start with, right?
Kim Fisher?
Here.
Susan Fowler?
Here.
Ann Robin? Neil Sharma?
Here.
Vicki Nicewander?
Here. And this stayed on, huh? Awesome. Yeah, things are looking up. Okay, and I believe that we need to vote Neil in to be a voting member of the group today, so...
Yeah, I'm sorry. I have some deliveries that came early, so I can't be there in person.
No problem. No problem.
I motion to include Dr. Sharma in the meeting virtually.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. You're welcomed into the meeting. Thank you, Neil.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
But then I need to
okay. Approval of the agenda is next on the list. You have a motion to approve?
I move to approve the agenda.
Thank you, Susan.
I'll second.
Okay, thanks, Kim. It's going to be up to all the three of us today. Although, Neil, feel free to jump in, too.
Yeah, of course.
All those in favor say aye.
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 And opposed. Okay. Meeting schedule is online, as are the important dates, the glossary. Is there any citizen input today? Anybody online? Okay. All right. Well, I have comments today, and I want to... We've heard a little bit over the past few months about Engage Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And we are at a point with that organization where we are really looking to expand the number of people who are in support. Now, if you haven't looked at their website, what they're asking for right now is for flexibility in the home-based waiver. So people who get home-based services could potentially get more money if they have greater need. This is a system that's used in some of the states that have really high ranks as far as providing good services in their states. And as we all know, Illinois is not so high up in that ranking. So ultimately, if we do this as a state, that we can, it could eventually be a systemic change. And so what I'm suggesting is that if you go to engageil.org, there is a Join Now button, and you can just put your, say you want to join, and they ask for other information. You don't have to put that in. It can just be your email, and that's it. And they promise they will not bombard you with emails. It's just so that we can say we have X number of people supporting this effort. We have legislators on the list. We have parents. We have people with disabilities. We have agencies. We have all kinds of folks, but it's still not enough. We're just at the beginning stages. So, again, the website, engageil.org, and click Join Now. And that's my comment. Thank you. Executive Director, that's you.
Well, in my heart, I have so many comments because of just there is so much to moving, and there's so much to just having a meeting in a different space. So my head is full of comments. I think the most important ones are the bathrooms are down here. You can't get in and out of this door. Well, you can get out of this door. You can't get back in this door. So if you need to use the bathroom, it's right down there. And conveniently, there's a water fountain that you can refill bottles. It's filtered water, so that's nice. Next month, or next time we meet, whether it's August or September, we'll be able to return to the coffee and snacks in the morning. But we didn't today because we're the very first board having a meeting in this room. And I thought, oh, man, I don't want to spill a bunch of coffee on the floor today. Let's wait till September to spill coffee on the floor. Otherwise, because of all this activity, I cannot remember what is in this board packet. It's been forever ago, and yet some of you didn't even receive the board packet in the mail, so we might need to figure out other ways to get the packets to you. I don't think we can produce them any earlier than we do, but we understand that Postal Service is slowing down. That's really happening, and we don't have a lot of control over that. So don't want you to be without the board packets. So anyway.
I'm just concerned that it was $8.15 to mail the packet, if I'm reading this. I got it last night after 5. And so it was in the mail for over 7 days. And I would much rather, if the mail's going to be that slow, first of all, of course, protest to our senators and congressmen. But secondly, I just went in and printed the most crucial pieces of the board packet because it was too hard to read online, frankly. It's best if we can get them on time, but I don't think we should be spending $100 or more to get board packets out if the mail's going to be that slow.
I would agree with that. I think that some of us might even be willing to stop in here and pick it up. I'm in Urbana enough.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's some of us used to do the Pony Express and deliver board packets to voters. But that was only in the event that there were 400 pages and we're going to, break the bank to put in the mail, or it couldn't be mailed. So for monthly meetings, there's no way I think we could do that. But it is, I just wanted to put that out there. This is actually a very big problem that is not going to go away, that we don't have a lot of control over. So if you have interim solutions like that, that's great. We always print extra packets for the meetings, so for the time being, we can print extra packets. The audience members tend to take, these are not usually going in the garbage anyway, so I'm not worried about being wasteful. I'm just worried about you having zero information, which we were done with it the weekend before that Monday that we sent it out to you, and this is why I can't remember what's in there. That's all. Okay.
Okay, next thing on the agenda is approval of last month's meeting minutes. Well, May meeting minutes, excuse me. So we need a motion
to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Kim.
Second.
I think I heard Neil.
Yeah, second.
Okay, very good. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Abstain.
Abstain. Oh, that's right. You weren't here. Okay. I believe that motion carries. So let's go on to vendor invoice lists, starting on page number 10 to 14. We need a motion to approve those.
I'll motion to approve the vendor list.
Hey, I'll be different and I'll second that motion. Any comments or questions on that? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Let's go to staff reports. Any questions or comments on staff reports? I think I made a note here. I was just noted on Kim's report that the staff has been developing a quarterly reports training program that I thought was really interesting. So keep us posted on that. Thank you for all the work that you all do. New business, officer elections. How do we run this?
We do this every year for both boards, and I'm never really sure how to do this. But Stephanie, can you walk us through this, being the most experienced with elections?
Someone should nominate someone to be president, and then the nominations are closed, and then there's a vote, and then the same with vice president, secretary. Does that make sense?
Can you do a combined slate, or do you want to do...
No, you can do a combined, too. That's
wait, we have a vice president?
Well, it's a secretary.
Okay. Oh, vice president slash secretary. Got it. Okay. All right. So do we have any nominations for either of those positions?
I nominate Vicki Nicewander as president of the board.
Thank you. I would like to nominate Ann Robin as vice president slash secretary. We spoke at the May meeting, and she agreed that she would be willing to keep going with that. Unless somebody else would like to step in as president, I'd be happy to step back. No?
No.
All right. So just a vote now?
I second the motion.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate your confidence. I don't know if it's deserved, but I appreciate it anyway. Okay, that was quick enough. Setting the stage. Okay. Go ahead, Don.
Well, no action is required. I remember this, because this is something I just... If possible, if there's time, I like to prepare this for the board each year just so you can see what the priorities and strategic plan elements you're under right now. And then, because the very next thing we need to start doing is a new three-year plan and new priorities for the period. It seems so far in the future, but it will come soon, July 1, 2026 through June 30, 2027. So we start developing all of that right now. So the idea of this memo is to put in front of you where we're at so that you can react to it either now or you can follow up with us through email or whatever in the coming months. This will be really important to us to get feedback from board members and also from the public. But we have some access to public input for these things, and then once you have a draft of each document, we'll officially have a public comment period too. So getting input from the board members would be great in the next month or two.
Mm-hmm.
So just to make sure we're on the right track. We also, some of us are going to meet with a strategic planning consultant, the first meeting is free. So maybe we'll get everything we need out of the first meeting just before we go, you know, get too far into it. And then for fun, for extra super fun, as we move from one office to the other, I'm going through old documents and figuring out which things we can save and which things we can be done with, and finding just like, it's just become really interesting to me how they did strategic planning starting in 1972. And even maybe a little bit earlier, to make the case for funding the mental health board. And then the DD board case comes much later, and most of us were actually involved in that, so we know how that was done. But it's just kind of neat, like, all right, maybe we should go old school and do a strategic plan using those outlines and guide. Anyway, so today is the day of possibilities, and from here we start to define what we want to do. So that's the whole point of this memo. Sorry for going on.
That's okay. Understanding is good. So are we ready to move on to the decision memorandum with United Way? Would that be next up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is an annual thing that we do, right?
At least every 4 years, I think, but I think we've been doing it every couple years now. So for a really long time, the Mental Health Board and the DD Board paid half of the cost of local CRN surveys provided by PATH and Bloomington, and then things just started changing pretty rapidly in the last few years. United Way sought the service from a different provider, which is actually United Way of the Midlands, and stopped working with PATH. We had overpaid, so they sent us a bunch of money back, and then we didn't owe anything this whole year. So we haven't really had to talk to you about this change, but United Way is using a new provider, so we have a new MOU, a new cost. It's a lower cost, it's only $2,000 a year, which is much lower than what we were paying before. And their contract is for 5 years, and I don't want us to have contracts that are longer than 4 years, so my suggestion is we lock in for the last 4 years of their 5-year contract. The 2-on-1 service is never perfect, so if you have concerns about it or complaints, please direct them to me, and I will talk with our local United Way about it, because really, if we want people to rely on it, it needs to work really well. So that's in everybody's, even though it's not a huge cost, we actually want it to work. So anyway. Yeah.
And the CCDDB portion of that expense is $843. The Mental Health Board Fund covers the remainder of that. Yeah. So the motion, let me just go ahead and read this, and then we can have further discussion. I'll make a motion to approve the attached memorandum of understanding with United Way of Champaign County for 211 services at an annual cost of $2,000, pending similar approval by the Champaign County Mental Health Board, and to authorize the executive director and board officer to enter into the agreement. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. And any comments or questions? Susan?
Well, I wouldn't have had a comment or question, but when you said it wasn't perfect, I just wondered, you know, do we have a plan to evaluate it? I don't mind spending $843 a year if it's providing reasonable service. So what is the, you know, evaluation plan? And I don't mean a sophisticated, just a...
I don't think that we can take on the full, like, we can't do all of that. But happily, this is a collaboration with United Way, so if we can push on them, mm-hmm, when we hear things. But even better, I think, are they, so at least one, maybe two people are here from a meeting that I attended last week related to the shared health plan for this community for the next 3 years, and indeed 211 came up, and the coordinator of the meeting, who's also the coordinator of the health plan, happens to have a really great relationship with United Way, and I said, well, why don't you talk to them about the concerns you have, because we've actually spent a lot of time And it was not, it didn't cost us money, but it did cost us a lot of staff time. Mm-hmm. In previous years, working with the U of I, with a research team who developed a functional website based on 211 and then offered to 211 that as a product that they could use, and 211 said no. So, and the guy, but the guy won an award for his work, and he's finishing his PhD, and he's back in town. So if we wanted to really go in that direction, the people who know how to do it are here. The desire to do that is here. It's just, if it's a dead end anyway, we still need to start with 211. We still need United Way to tell them about problems. And the problem was just that the 211, the person on the phone would not print out and or would not create separate data for this caller and send it to him at his request. So we just need to make sure that they're ready to do things like that for Champaign County, because Champaign County is really complicated with lots of resources, but they're not always usable resources. So when people want to know which of the 900 nonprofits do what, we need 211 to be ready to do that. So I'm getting really specific, but
yeah, that's okay.
But I would say that there is a mechanism for going really big on evaluation, but I don't want to take the lead on it because it was so disappointing last time. I'm glad the guy won a big money prize for it, but the rest of us were like, how is this good for the community? To like, we're right where we started before. So, anyway. It's just, if callers expect more than just a two-word answer on the call, that's, they should get it. So I think that we're still advocating for that kind of use, which, you know, it's, I know it's only $800, but if the community is
supposed to be hesitant to even approve it, if it's that bad, or is that just one example?
That's just the person who was coordinating the meeting, and he really does have a relationship with United Way, so he should be able to fix that, but we'll see. Yeah.
Any other questions? No? Okay. All right, then, let's take a vote. All those in favor of making that expenditure, please say aye.
I think aye. We have to have a roll call.
Oh, that's right. Money. Okay, sorry. Thank you.
Sure. Susan Fowler?
Aye, reluctantly.
Neil Sharma?
Aye.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Vicki Nyswander?
Yes. Motion carries. All right, moving on to the fiscal year budgets. That starts on page 49. First, I want to thank the staff for all the work they put into this. This is really all was well done. We appreciate it. We'll need a motion to approve, and I'm assuming that this will be a roll call too, right?
Yeah.
So we need a motion to approve and a second.
I move to approve the decision section for the draft budget and for the special initiative fund budget, if they can be done together, if not, one at a time.
If you don't mind doing them separately so that the amounts are included, and the
sure.
real magic of the second one is that in this motion you're also approving a transfer from fund balance, which can end up being like very complicated
sure.
if we don't.
Okay.
If you haven't been explicit, yeah.
Yeah, so you're making the motion.
So I move to approve the attached draft 2026 CCDDB budget with anticipated revenues and expenditures of $5,689,961 as proposed.
Okay, thank you. And a second?
I'll second.
All right. Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Susan Fowler?
Yes, aye.
Neil Sharma?
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Vicki Nyswander?
Yes. Okay, motion carries. The next one is
And I'll do this. I make a motion to approve the attached draft 2026 IDD Special Initiatives Fund budget with anticipated expenditures of $233,117 with equal revenues including transfer from fund balance. Use of this fund is consistent with the terms of the intergovernmental agreement between the CCDDB and CCMHB and full approval is contingent on CCMHB action. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Susan. Any other questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Neil Sharma?
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander?
Yes. Okay. To old business agency special request. This is regarding the CU Autism Network. The summary of the completed actions, and you all received that report a while ago. So, and I see we have Mr. Beckett at the microphone.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, do we have all of the documents that have been requested? We do not.
We have all of the documents that Mr. Beckett and his assistant were responsible for. The last piece is the independent financial review, and Ms. Forrest was confident that would be done, but we haven't seen it yet. We also haven't had the revenue confirmation letter yet. Maybe you can speak to that. But to jump to it, I'm not very confident without it. So even though there are some recommendations in here, I don't know that I don't know anything about the financial review. I haven't seen it or even talked to the CPA yet. So anyway, that's all.
So we have been working with Tyler Cutts at Martin Hood, who also was coordinating it with the agency's bookkeepers, which were Royal Bookkeeping. And this, I think I described this the last time I was here. What we're obviously doing is tracking the expenditures and all the receipts that we have been able to receive from the agency to the grant allocations and the proper categories. And I think we've been largely successful. I think I would say substantially successful, but not completely successful. And I think you would agree that that's the case. But Tyler Cutts has indicated he has some reservations about the accounting procedure, and so I think he needs more time to complete this.
Mm-hmm. I think that we may want to consider punting on this particular issue and giving him a chance to complete it. Which would mean delaying a decision on this until probably the September meeting. I would assume that we don't typically have an August meeting, right? So,
I understand.
Would that be helpful at all?
I think so. I mean, I can't give you a definitive answer because I don't want to speak for Mr. Cutts, but I know that he is working on it. We have worked with him and also coordinating between the bookkeeping services. And there's another accounting firm involved that does the annual tax returns for the agency, Feller and Kester. And so the combination of these folks is what's preventing us from getting a final product for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the only thing that we can offer is more time at this point. So if we would try to make a decision, I don't know that it would be the right one, not having all the information. Is there any concurrence or disagreement? You have a comment, Kim? No? No.
I do.
Okay.
I wanted to say that I truly appreciated the care with which the decision memorandum was developed and laid out concerns for the DD board in terms of our work, not just with the CU Autism Network, but in the future with other agencies, particularly parent-run agencies. And I'd like to say that, you know, as a parent of a young man with autism, I believe we need more service options in our community, but they have to be well conducted and they have to meet the requirements of the proposals that they submit. And so I know that this is an unusual case, and I agree that we shouldn't do anything until we have more information, but I think primarily what I want to say is to thank the staff for the amount of, or Lynn, for the amount of work she has put into this decision memorandum to guide us as we do reach a point where we can have a discussion. And, you know, it's been extremely helpful.
I would be remiss if I didn't comment on Christina Forrest's efforts on this, my assistant. She's put in so much time in trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube. It's been very difficult.
Yeah, it is definitely a challenging situation. I will grant you that.
She was great to work with. Yeah. Do you have a copy of the board packet?
I do.
Okay.
Okay. So we need to take a vote to table this until September. Yes? Okay. We'll need a motion.
I move to table the discussion and decision about the CU Autism Network until September funding.
And the second?
Second.
Okay, thank you, Neil. This requires a voice vote only. Yes. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Oh, microphone.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Engage Illinois. There's a whole packet in there of information. I kind of told you the highlights. So take a chance, you know, read that over and you get a sense of some of the work that's being done and some of the people who are supporting that work. I think it's well worth your support as well if you feel so inclined. And that's all. We're not going to go through that whole PowerPoint that they have, that Lynn has included, but it's there for you to look at if you wish. And the evaluation capacity building project update. There she is.
Good morning, everyone. Happy hump day. So I'm Jacinda Dariotis. I direct the Family Resiliency Center. I'm lead on the Evaluation Capacity Building Project with my team of excellent people, including Rachel and Nate. So we have been up to technical assistance with two programs that have been identified in a collaboration with the board staff. And so they are PACE and Promise Healthcare. We're helping them with two of their programs. We have had kickoff meetings, follow-up meetings, talking about logic models and outcomes, and really helping them with the needs that they have with their current programs, so for the evaluation component. So that's been working really, really well. We also have been working with the board staff, and will continue to do so, to identify a third program that will benefit from technical assistance. So stay tuned for that. I know that funding decisions were rolling in and happening over time, and so we're just making sure that we're addressing the needs of programs that are most in need of evaluation capacity building. So that's great. We are working towards creating micro-learnings on best practices in reporting, and also in-person session on storytelling. So that will be this fall. And those two will work in tandem with each other, having a micro-learning as pre-work as well as accessible to everybody in terms of best practices in reporting, and then having the in-person storytelling, working through programs and agencies' actual reporting and their stories, so that they have hands-on experience and can come away with something that they can then utilize as they move forward. We're also revisiting the report template, and we'll be seeking feedback from agencies and programs, how it's working, things that might be improving of it, and we're working with board staff in conjunction with that. So it's, we're having open conversation about how to improve that template. So that everyone can hear the stories that need to be heard and have it communicated in ways that are effective for everybody.
The stories are my favorite part, so good. I'm glad to hear it. Any other comments or questions? Thank you so much for all your work. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for your support. Have a wonderful day and stay cool and hydrated.
All right. Success is another agency. No, Disability Resource Expo update. Do we have anybody to make that report, or we just have the packet?
These guys are more closely connected to it than I am. I have pretty graphics. I should just put it on the screen.
We have a date.
We have a date. That's good.
I don't have as much of an update. I know the subcommittees are very well underway in planning. We do have a date. Expo exhibitor payments are rolling in, and sponsorship payments are as well. I don't know if anybody in the crowd who's more involved in the subcommittees wants to. Everybody's shaking their heads. So
nobody wants to come up. Okay.
Nobody wants to come up and share. But everything is moving along, and the expo will be. Has the county fair senior day happened? We'll be at the county fair. We're going to be at. That was yesterday. Well, so the expo was
that
at
announcement
the fair
was a little
yesterday,
late.
The cooler day of the week. And then I think the weekend of August 8th and 9th, the expo will be attending Champaign-Urbana Days. So there's other events. The Unit 4 Back to School Fair. The expo is going to be there. So all these community events, the expo is there sharing Save the Date flyers and hand sanitizers and all the goodies to get the word out about the October event.
And I'm assuming that at some point they're going to need help getting signs put out as well. Are they going to do that this year?
I don't know. I know last year we didn't do it because of the fall elections and the issues surrounding that. I'm not positive on that. The expense for those signs and even replacement stickers, we usually just put a sticker over the previous year's date.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know kind of where that lies, but I know we had talked last year about working with a group from DSC if that happens. So
stay tuned.
We'll keep you posted.
Okay. Other questions? All right, so now we are at successes and other agency information. Who wants a chance to talk now? Come on up.
I am me from Paige. Paula Benio. We at one outside with a consumer met a PSW this month. We've been working with community chosen's more it that lasts 7 months to own one consumer show that been help for this critical consumer to give a PS stop for use. and we a good training. Yes, today we have people again, and we are openly going to look at our training and make some changes in the next 2 months and on the 15th things go to have a friend at Jupiter's quad scene with pizza and a solid option and tickets are $40 and people but license can but license can pay for a booth for a fee to give out the information. I tried to get more information about the cause of the booths, but my exact if did I get back to me.
Did you guys catch all the about the event?
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and repeat?
We also have Mel and Michelle from Pace on Zoom, so they might have more in front of them. But I'm Eric, and Paula was mentioning that on August 15th, we have Pace is having a 40-year anniversary celebration event at Jupiter's at the Crossing, and we are, what'd you say, it's $20, right? Is the...
Yeah.
$20 is the fee to get in, and then also like renting out booths and stuff for other organizations or whoever to set up a booth and give, you know, their information, make that available to folks too. So please let us know if you're interested in that.
And the date of that again was
August 15th.
August 15th. Okay.
So again, speaker. It's the hand bad zipper coach wheelchair bad zipper coach.
And we'll have a guest speaker there who is the U of I wheelchair basketball coach.
What's the time?
5 p.m. I believe,
five.
Right? I think it's 5 to 8 p.m. You can go in the a.m., but we won't be there.
Okay. Go ahead. Thanks for your update, Paula. Can you clarify? You mentioned that you were making some changes to the training for the PSWs, and I think I missed, like, what were some of the changes you guys were going to do?
We learn from these customer. We need to add in some stuff that helped him make a list, helped him see a much that choppy list, maybe patient for that choppy trip. Those things.
So being informed by the consumers that what are the things they need. Okay. Yeah. Thanks so much. That's great.
This is a great resource. You're doing a good job with it, so thank you. Any other people want to speak up?
Hello, Sarah Perry, Director of Residential with DSC, and Heather. We kind of shared a success story with an individual that we support in community living as well as case management clinical services. So we wanted to speak to that a little bit. The gentleman has been with DSC for over 20 years, lives in our apartment building at CU Independence, and he went through a stage of pretty acute psychosis early this spring. He's also duly diagnosed with schizophrenia. Paranoid, and we went through several situations where he was not safe to himself, and he ended up traveling to Mattoon and was returned to the apartment building via police, and then was really struggling. He was not comfortable in his apartment, so he was staying outside of his apartment community. We were having a difficult time keeping tabs on him. So he did get placement in acute psych inpatient at two different facilities, and unfortunately both of those stays didn't result in anything positive. So he came back to the community and was in worse condition than before. And then we had a moment where we were able to have him come to DSC, and then Heather and I kind of approached him and asked for police presence just because we didn't know if he would become violent. And then I'll let Heather speak to kind of the clinical connection that we had based on our relationship with the clinical program.
And I feel strongly that through the connection through the CCDV funds with our consulting psychiatrist that we have a relationship with, because he's worked with us for over 10 years. I was able to contact him because we wanted to know the smoothest process in order to get him help and assistance locally, so that we could, when he was in the moment, we could move forward. And he assisted me through that process. And when we went over there, unfortunately, it's still a long process to get admitted somewhere. And he was agreeing most of the whole time, and then when he had to go back by himself, he was having a change of heart, and the psychiatrist messaged me and said he changed his mind. I asked if we could go talk with him, and he said, of course, and let us back. And I feel if we didn't have that relationship and connection, we wouldn't have got him the help that he needed in inpatient at that point. And he continued to communicate with us so I could communicate with the team of the medicine he's been on, the problems he's been having. And so he added a new medication that has made a huge difference. And he's feeling a lot better and himself again. And so it's great to see him back at his apartment and wanting him to get engaged in the community and participate in groups again. So I just, it's sad that the other instays he had, nobody would communicate with us, though we tried. So it's another little gap in services as part of a group I'm in, too, is talking about in Champaign-Urbana. So it's just sad, but I'm thankful for the connection we have through you guys. Yeah. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Hi, Annie Bruno, the Arc of Illinois. Just wanted to give a quick update on the state. I'm sure you all are pretty aware, but just last week, PUNS selection letters went out to 1,586 new folks. So it's a really big pull this year, and the state was able to select folks who had been waiting at minimum 42 months or longer, which is also better than the metric that the consent decree puts out of 5 years or less. So we're improving there. I think it's also worth mentioning that the state offered a very small selection randomly, as per my understanding. I don't know what the rhyme or reason was, but we got small polls both in March and in May. And so they were doing little bits of 80 people, or then I think May was about 40 people, and it was the folks that had been waiting the longest at each ISC agency. So just some positive news on that front, that people are getting PUN selected in a pretty timely manner. And I've gotten quite busy this week because everyone got, 1,500 people got those letters sent to their home. So I offer free consultations to folks navigating the PUN selection process if you know of anyone in need. Thanks.
My mic to it. There we go. I had a question for you, Annie. Do you know roughly, maybe I missed this number, do you know how many people in Champaign County were sent letters?
It's by the region of the ISC, so I don't have that number offhand. It's like, okay. I know Prairie Land J has a certain amount, but I honestly haven't counted it up.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Sorry.
Hannah, Community Choices, just a couple things. One, to kind of speak to, just very briefly, to Disability Expo stuff. Kelly and I have been working really hard on the social media. Neither of us are experts by any means. They said, Generation Z, which we are not, but doing our best. So if you have Facebook, even Instagram, which we're learning, if you could, like, share posts that we make, it just comes from the Disability Expo account. So, we'd appreciate that, trying to reach more people. Second thing is, I talked a little bit about a couple months ago, probably last spring, about one of our members who was getting some dental care done with a grant from regional planning and from CCAMR and some additional funding from Community Choices. But she's particularly shy, but she's going to talk at the joint board meeting about her experience, because that was something she shared last year, was wanting to get her dental work done. But the thing I want to share about that is, since doing that, she is now allowing us to support her in updating, like, all of her health needs. So we're getting a primary care physician, we're going to the eye doctor, we're figuring out, like, her, she gave me a folder the other day that's a huge accordion folder of all her medical history that we're going to go through and make sure she has the insurance that she needs, talking with, her parent who doesn't live here. But, she's all psyched up to kind of get that in order, which is great. So, thank you.
That's awesome. Anybody else? Okay. Do we have any county board input?
Jenny Lochin is on the Zoom.
Oh, good.
No updates. Nice to see you in the new boardroom. We'll be meeting in there tomorrow night for the first time. It looks great, and no, nothing from the board.
Okay, thank you. Champaign County Mental Health Board.
I'm so happy that we've made it through this meeting without incident, because we are the first ones here. They'll be here this evening. The few things that I now understand, thanks to your meeting, and we'll be able to do a little better tonight for them. They have, they also have budgets to look at, obviously, because some of the items have to be co-approved. There's an agency leader an agency that had funded for a few years that they quite liked who passed away suddenly. So one agenda item they have is just sort of like kind of weird because happily we don't have to do this all the time, like just kind of officially recognizing and honoring that person. So that's big on the agenda. And then I don't know if there's anything else that they're doing tonight that's different from what y'all are. I do want to talk to you about the meetings before we go. This isn't the right agenda item, but next maybe.
Okay.
Or do you want me to just do it?
I'd say just do it, whatever okay. It is. I don't know.
So you have a tentative August 20th meeting.
Oh, yeah, we need to officially cancel.
And so that could be officially canceled. So there's also an issue with four of the meetings for the during 2025, August 20th, September 17th, and then November and December meetings, that we can't use this room. So we'll be only using the small room next to us. So I'm still working with, obviously, all these county folks are trying to figure this out with me on how we'll be able to do that. So I'm glad if we don't have to figure it out for August 20th, but September 17th, we will need to meet in there. So now I have a firm deadline for figuring all that stuff out.
Well, but you all won't be so far away from us then, so that'll be a good thing. Okay, so the vote needs to be to cancel that August meeting.
Give you all
I second the motion.
I can make the motion for the
chair has the prerogative.
Okay.
Hey, we're canceled.
All right, sounds good to me. Any board announcements or input? Neil, you have anything?
You know, one thing we were talking about, I think, last time was what is the sort of legality or is there a way for us to support some of these groups? Because a lot of these are just volunteer-based groups. And so I would like to see, you know, sometimes I feel like they just need a little bit of support and guidance. So that was something I was wanting to see and explore and get people's input on.
Do you have specific groups in mind that you're thinking of?
Yeah, I'm blanking on the name. It was that organization that has been really not gotten their paperwork in.
Oh, CU Autism Network. Yes. We punted that one till September. Yeah. And I do know that Kim and Lynn and the rest of the staff have been working diligently to figure out a better way of working with those small volunteer groups because it's a concern.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Without overreaching from a small governmental perspective, but also to support these groups. So, you know, whether it's that project or other projects, I would just love to, you know, I don't know if that needs to be done or it's already being done for the one group that I was concerned about, but maybe just sort of a thing to think about.
Yeah.
How can we support groups, especially in these challenging times?
Yeah.
Can I respond?
Sure. Of course.
I do think it's important. There are some things, I mean, we've been doing this, some of us have been doing this a long time, and we used to have more direct funding of small organizations, but without so many reporting requirements, and we found some things to be true that even minimal reporting requirements were too much for them. So I've sort of developed an attitude of like, if you can raise money from like private donations or people that love your cause and then do whatever you want to with the money, include keeping your receipts in a shoebox under the bed, just do that because the government standard is so high compared to that. The ways that we could support a group who don't need direct funding from us are to promote their work, which I think we can certainly do more of that. And our staff, at least, are very committed to that. So maybe we just don't know about all the opportunities to co-promote the family networks, we really need family support networks. That is a really important part of the system. They know things that other people don't know. And that's actually a relative strength of Champaign County, is that there are so many support groups and family networks. And we really, I'm very committed to figuring out how we can do more. So thank you for raising it. At the contract level, you have some authorities to make exceptions. It's just how far can you go with exceptions? And especially like for large amounts of money, should you make exceptions?
And I admit that I have personally suggested to at least one organization, you know, this probably wouldn't be a good idea for you to apply because you don't have the people to do the work that is going to be required. So that's something that we have to think about, and how do we do a better job of supporting family groups to make a difference, because they do make a difference, and it could be much larger.
What we can do, and we like to do as staff, and it is in the budget, we can sponsor their events. We can be like a little bit of money to have the duty board and mental health board be listed as an official sponsor, or even the expo be listed as an official sponsor. This is something we do look for opportunities like that. So
okay. I agree. And just maybe connecting local benefactors to organizations through events and supporting that kind of work. I think that would be another way. So I agree. I mean, I think that perhaps now with the slowdown in governmental spending on this, that private donations may be the next source to kind of look for funding for a lot of organizations potentially. So, you know, and events are great ways of like raising awareness, bringing people together, giving people an opportunity to kind of speak what their mission is and get their name out there. So
might even not be a bad idea to have some of those representatives from those groups speak to us, not as you know, people who want to get money from us, but just to inform us about the work that they're doing, and then we can, you know, give them whatever support we can manage.
I really love that, because, you know, and then if we get a critical mass of organizations, then we can maybe talk to them and help to maybe sponsor an event put on by all of them that, and, you know, just kind of give our support to the weight of our organization behind them. And I think that could be also another powerful way.
Well, thank you for bringing that up. I think it's really important. Susan?
Yeah, I just wanted to build on that because it hadn't occurred to me, and I do like that suggestion. Are most of the family networks or the less formal organizations listed in the Disability Expo?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Isn't that an opportunity also to coalesce some of those smaller groups during the expo? If they have, are they actually assuming booth roles at the expo, and does it cost them money to do that?
It does, but I think it's like with everyone else, it's hard to find people to sit in the booth on Saturday, so sometimes they'll have a booth but not show up, or not have a booth. But yeah, like representing the family support networks at the expo is one way or the other a really great idea.
Great. Mm-hmm. Anything else before we adjourn?
Yeah.
What time do we have? 10:02, not too bad. We got through it quickly. Thank you for coming. We are adjourned.
Recording stopped. Yeah.